is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builders Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
For the past 2 years, we've dealt with the COVID-19 pandemic. It would be an understatement to say it's unlike anything any of us have ever dealt with before. So many aspects to it, and regardless of opinions on various things, a lot of mental health stress for everybody over the past couple of years, that in addition to a whole lot of other issues as well. We want to talk about the mental health situation. Cheryl McDonald is the ADAPT Crisis Program Director. Cheryl, thanks for being on this afternoon.
Thanks for having me on.
So talk about the last 2 years. What kinds of things has ADAPT seen when it comes to the mental health of local residents?
Well, you know, when we initially started to see the impact of COVID in Oregon back in March of 2020, things were surprisingly quiet for a period of time. Businesses were closed, schools were closed, and a lot of providers were really struggling how to figure out providing services while still keeping employees and clients safe. And eventually we got to a point where technology became a great option for continuing to provide mental health and substance use services. What we've actually noticed from using technology is that it makes it easier for some people to be involved in treatment. If we're talking about someone with profound depression or anxiety, the process of getting up in the morning, getting ready for an appointment, or leaving your house can be really difficult. And so all of a sudden, we're able to use technology. We can use phone calls or Zoom to provide services to people who otherwise had a really difficult time engaging in traditional treatment options. So we had, after that period of initial adjustment where everyone was getting used to being at home, what we noticed was a lot of stress. People were suddenly without employment. There was a lot of uncertainty around when businesses would reopen. We had parents trying to work from home while also trying to support their kids in distance learning. There was an increase in family and relationship issues due to some of that stress that parents and individuals and kids were going through. And that impact had a huge impact on day-to-day functioning. So there was a period of time when, people couldn't even go out to the gyms for exercise or go outside or get together with friends to socialize, attend activities. And those are all things that can increase stress. So when people or families are under a tremendous amount of stress, we can see things like increased conflicts within those families or within relationships. People have increased feelings of depression and anxiety, and sometimes increased impulses for people to harm themselves. Even now that businesses are open and schools are open, there can still be the sense of isolation or disconnect for people. And so we're noticing that people are still feeling a lot of things due to the pandemic. They're concerned about themselves or a family member, what would happen if they got sick. They're feeling anxious, stressed out, burned out, overwhelmed, and generally really ready to get back to that pre-COVID functioning.
Yeah, a lot of people have had so many different aspects, you know, mentioned, especially during the time when all the education was being done at home and more people were working from home than maybe are right now, though a lot of that has certainly continued. Even the technology aspect, and I heard about this from some folks about literally enough band space for two people and a couple and two or three kids to be doing everything they were doing, online. I mean, that was its own stress, whether or not you were going to make it through the day with enough Wi-Fi, et cetera.
Exactly. So that was one of the stresses. And then trying to do services for someone who is trying to engage in a treatment service while they're also trying to direct kids to do their schoolwork. It was a period of time where there was a huge increase in just normal everyday stressors for people.
So at what point in all of this do those who normally have good mental health, pretty good lives, at what point do they start to tilt?
Oh, gosh. You know, I think that the majority of us have had moments throughout this pandemic where we've all started to tilt. And I think for some of us, that was something like the first holiday season where we were asked not to be around our family members or not being able to find daycare or not knowing how the mortgage would get paid when a job was lost. I know for me personally, there was a little tilting when I was trying to work from home while my five-year-old was in quarantine. So I think what separates a healthy response from an unhealthy response is what people are able to do when they feel themselves starting to tilt. It's important to consider whether people can recognize that something feels off. They're feeling stressed or anxious or overwhelmed. And then if people are able to recognize they're feeling some of those mental health symptoms, what are people able to do about it? Are people able to use some of those good coping mechanisms to bring mental health back into balance? Do they have supports at home? Do they have the ability to ask another family member or friend for help? Are they able to maybe watch a funny movie to laugh and relax for a while or get outside and enjoy some physical activity? Even something as simple as playing a game on your phone for a few minutes can be enough of a distraction to lower that immediate reaction of stress and anxiety.
Did you run across people who, because of the stay-at-home aspect of a lot of this, certainly for a long chunk of time there, just felt like they were sort of trapped?
Absolutely. And that was reported a lot. People felt trapped, and that actually led to an increase in depression and anxiety for folks. So there were some large studies done recently that measured the impact the pandemic had on mental health. And those studies showed a clear increase in depression and anxiety for a lot of people. Locally, I think that we've seen some really similar findings. We're seeing an increase in depression and anxiety, certainly for people who are in that high-risk category. And there are a number of older adults or people with medical conditions that put them at high risk who continue to be very, very isolated. And oftentimes, these are people that are unable to use some of the social supports they previously used, things like going to the senior center, going to church or other group activities. And so we're seeing people that report a high level of loneliness without their normal social supports, which can absolutely increase their feelings of sadness and depression.
And even when situations happen and you feel like you should go check on a family member, but because of the medical protocols where that person is, you actually can't visit them. I actually had a friend who had a parent die from COVID last week. They live in separate states, not around here. But at that point, was not even able to go visit and say goodbye. And man, that's a big thing to be grieving about.
Absolutely. And we're actually, that's another thing that we're experiencing right now. We're seeing people who are having grief and loss after losing a loved one to COVID. And grief and loss on its own is really difficult. But then you take into account the ease with which COVID spreads. We often see entire families that are in quarantine. So if someone is experiencing a COVID loss where they're also in quarantine, it makes it almost impossible for those people to receive adequate supports from others and still maintain the required isolation.
Now, what about the issues of this that have related more to maybe your mobile crisis team, which we talked about a couple months back for folks that are maybe on the street more? The pandemic has had other aspects.
So I think one of the biggest aspects that mobile crisis has encountered because of the pandemic is a reduction in the availability of some of the community resources we would typically use to house folks that didn't have housing. Understandably, some of the resources for people who are unhoused have placed restrictions on if people can come in or not to really limit the amount of COVID exposure that they're bringing to other people. But I think that that's had a dramatic increase or decrease on our ability to really safely transport unhoused people to somewhere safe.
So do you see situations then where folks who already, maybe if they were on the street or couch surfing, had a whole bunch of issues, those issues just get magnified by the pandemic?
They certainly do. I think one of the things that we have noticed is we are seeing folks who have already had a mental health or a substance use disorder before COVID, and that's made worse by COVID. So if people have a diagnosis that makes them feel predisposed to feeling anxious or depressed, anxiety about COVID or the possibility of getting COVID or the option of not really having anywhere to go and having COVID can certainly make their anxiety and depression worse. And I think it's also made a little more difficult. Sometimes our issues with people being able to get their medications at times, including psychiatric medications, it's been really difficult for folks. So people who have high levels of anxiety or depression, it can be incredibly difficult to wait in line at the pharmacy to pick up your medications. So it's not just a housing thing. It's kind of this cumulative effect of all services are quite a lot difficult to access at this point.
More with Cheryl McDonald when we come back on Inside Douglas County, the interview of podcast at 541radio.com, 1246 at News Radio 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1248, Lars Larson coming at 1. Later today, KQEN Local Talk at 4. David Littlejohn with True Wealth Radio. On tomorrow's Inside Douglas County, Republican candidate for Governor Stan Pulliam. We're continuing to reach out and get more of the candidates for governor, trying to get them on for interviews. So expect more of those in the coming days, along with some of the other races as well. Cheryl McDonald is the ADAPT Crisis Program Director. We're talking about the mental health impacts of the pandemic on area residents. Now, Cheryl, some things are short term. If you can get through a situation and know that, you know, maybe when you get out of quarantine, certain things will be better, things like that. But I mean, you've got short term aspects, but you've also got long term impacts for people, and that can include in the mental health arena.
Absolutely. And so that's one of the areas where our expanded mobile crisis team can really come into play. So in the short term, they're able to go out in the community and they respond to all types of calls. So not necessarily just someone having an identifiable mental health emergency, but they're going out on welfare checks for people. So we'll have someone who calls into dispatch and says, you know, my friend, my parent, or my neighbor is in the community and I'm concerned about them. So mobile crisis will be dispatched out to that. They also are providing conflict resolution. So as families are more stressed and law enforcement has to be involved because there's an argument, oftentimes mobile crisis will be able to go out there and help mediate a resolution. They're being called out to distraught individuals or people who might be acting strangely or causing a disturbance in the community. So when they're going out on a response, mobile crisis clinicians are doing a variety of short-term interventions, and those include an immediate crisis de-escalation. They're doing risk assessments to determine if somebody is having passive thoughts of harming themselves or if they really have an active plan. They're doing suicide prevention, safety planning, immediate crisis counseling, and some of that grief and loss counseling. And so that provides that short-term intervention that can kind of de-escalate a situation until we can get people engaged in the long term. And one of the benefits of our mobile crisis response is that most people who have that initial mobile crisis encounter, as long as we have contact information and they're willing to let us follow up with them, we're going to follow up with them the next day when things have calmed down a little bit so that we can start getting them information on who's the best person for them to engage in treatment with. For some people who are really rural, it might be better for them to use some of those telehealth options we talked about. And for other folks, maybe they just need some help problem solving or an appointment set up for them to get started in services so that they can start looking at some of those longer term treatment options.
Now, we had had this sort of covered recently in a story, but I think we could expand on it here. Talk about being able to add more hours to when your mobile crisis team can assist law enforcement.
Well, that's been pretty fantastic. We recently had the opportunity to expand our services, which took us from two staff people who worked 10 hours a day, 7 days a week. So now we have eight staffed positions that are available for a total of 17 hours a day, 7 days a week. And initially, I think there was the thought of whether we had the need in the community to have that large of an expansion. And based on how busy mobile crisis has been, I certainly think that we did have that need. Last month, they responded to 126 service calls from community members in Douglas County. And again, those are the welfare checks or sometimes the fatal incidents, conflict resolution, and grief supports. So we're noticing a much higher call volume, and whether it's due to the pandemic or an increased awareness in the community of mobile crisis services, it's a little difficult to tell. I think it's likely a combination of increased community awareness, increased staffing, and the stresses and strain of the pandemic. But with that higher call volume, we went from 350 crisis calls in 2019 to 649 crisis services in 2020, and that's an 85% increase. So those services were much needed in Douglas County.
Wow. So how is this expansion funded, and is it funded for the short term or long term?
It is a funding for a two-year grant period, but there is a very high level of commitment on ADAPT's part to keep this service available to the community.
And does your team normally work with officers in tandem going through a situation, or once it's diffused to a certain level, then are the officers able to exit and the person involved can work with your crisis team?
You know, it really depends on the type of call that's coming in. Our focus is really on those nonviolent calls that don't always need that law enforcement intervention. Typically, we respond in a team of two mental health providers. We have one crisis therapist and one crisis case manager. So if the call comes into dispatch and it seems very low level in a public setting, oftentimes what we know is that it's something that mobile crisis can take care of in lieu of a law enforcement response. But if it's something that we have questions about or it seems like events may be escalated, when we're dispatched to a call, we initially respond in coordination with law enforcement, something like a family argument or a domestic violence incident, for example. It's important for our staff to feel safe during those encounters, so we will typically respond out with law enforcement. Once we've assessed that situation and established some basic rapport with people, we can indicate that we feel comfortable and let law enforcement know that we feel safe. And this lets law enforcement continue on to their next call. Even after law enforcement has left the scene, though, dispatch continues to monitor our interaction. And so they know when we're out on a call, this means that we have a lot of support for mobile crisis safety if the circumstances of our encounter happen to change.
So for people that are worrying about their own mental health or maybe substance use issues, things like that, what options are available before you get to this crisis point?
Absolutely. I would really encourage people to reach out, even if it's just a phone call, to see what those options look like. The 24-hour a day for people to call is 541-440-3532. And there's someone there that will be happy to walk people through all of the available options. Sometimes those options can include a telehealth, which works really well, even if someone just has half an hour on their lunch break to go sit in their car and talk to a therapist and do some problem solving, that can have some enormous benefit.
Do you feel like we're going to get to a point here where you're going to see, maybe even later in the spring or in the summer, this situation improve in terms of the mental health of folks?
I certainly hope so, but I really have to also think that the issues caused by the pandemic and the stress that everyone has been under for the last 2 years is going to create some lasting impacts, whether it's families that are in distress, increased arguing, people who are having a hard time going back to a pre-COVID level of functioning. I think we're going to continue to see impacts in mental health due to the pandemic for quite a while.
Well, before we run here in a moment, give folks that crisis phone line number again.
Yeah, that number is 541-440-3532. During normal business hours, it'll come over to Adapt Staff. After business hours, we have an answering service, and they'll make sure to get you in touch with the right people.
All right. Cheryl McDonald, Adapt Crisis Program Director. Thanks for being on this afternoon.
Thanks, Kyle.
1258, News Radio 1240, KQEN.
Listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Your home for Douglas County's news team. News Radio 1240 KQEN.